In the 23rd chapter of Matthew's, in the 25th verse, or 23rd verse it is, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of men and Ananias and coming, and have omitted the way of matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tomb of the prophets and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Now, you know, when you think of this, you think of people that are so different from yourselves. And yet the Bible here is pointing out that Jesus himself, the God of love, this is the words of the God of love, the words of the God of love, speaking to human beings just like you are, had the same problems. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. His faith went up to God and God closed the heavens. That was a man just like you, a man. Had like passions, the same things to put up with, but he believed when he prayed. Jesus, a man just like I'm a man, here is his talk. He said, "You kill the prophets." He said, "Ye serpents." That's what he called them. He's preaching. He's preaching a sermon, and he's preaching to the preachers, preaching to the people that's supposed to be righteous, to the Jews. And he said, "Ye serpents." Can you imagine Jesus standing up here, and he's preaching a sermon, and he looks out there, and he don't say, "I'm telling you what Brother Pike said, and Brother Pike said you're a bunch of serpents." He don't do that. See, it's Jesus speaking, and Jesus just looks out and say, "You serpents, you generation of snakes, you generation of vipers." Boy, that wouldn't make you feel good, would it? That wouldn't make you feel good at all, because he wouldn't say, "And the Bible said you're a generation of vipers." He'd just look out there and say, "You viper." Man come up to him one time and said something to him, and Jesus said, "You hypocrite, why tempt thou me?" Took the whip and popped it in the temple. That was that God of love that you talk about. Somebody said, "I don't like the way you preach, Brother Pike, but I like God. He's love." I'm talking about that God of love. This is the same Holy Spirit speaking. That's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, "You generation of vipers," that was the Holy Ghost said that. That was God said that. It was the Eternal Spirit said that. That was that Spirit of love that spoke that. You believe it? It's here. It's recorded. Somebody said, "Well, I never thought God was like that," but he was. I always thought God went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He did. But he also went about doing this too. He says here, Jesus speaking to the people now, and you're the people. He says here, Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men. I send somebody to tell you about your wrongs, Jesus said. But all you ever did was kill them, crucify them, resent them, and find fault with them. He's talking to you now. See, he's talking to you. The same Holy Ghost that lived in the body of Jesus in that day spoke to them people. The same Holy Ghost that was moving back there in Moses' day, though Moses didn't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, yet the Holy Ghost could feel him in the sense it could come into him, but he didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that same Holy Ghost speaking, for the Bible speaks of Judas, said the Spirit thus signifying the Holy Ghost sent it. The same Holy Ghost in Moses spoke to them people back there. The same Holy Ghost in Peter many years later spoke to them people over there. The same Holy Ghost many years later is speaking to you people right here. The same Holy Ghost, the same God that tabernacled in human flesh today is still tabernacling in human flesh. I want you to think on it now. I want to read just a little more. Over here in the 24th chapter, in the 29th verse, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And that means the Spirit alone knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, let's read just a little further. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to point out something to you here, if I can, and I want you to think just a little bit on this. The Bible speaks here of virgins. And the other night, I spoke of the virgin that would conceive and bring forth a son. And I spoke of us being God's virgin. Here, Jesus speaks of the tribulation in Matthew 24. Of the condition of the church being in hypocrisy just previous to that. And then follows up by saying that some of them were wise and some of them were foolish. And he said that the wise virgins, that they were very careful to fill their vessels up with oil. But it said that the foolish virgins didn't think it was necessary to be filled with the oil. We've got a teaching in the world today, men like Billy Graham, that go around and they have thousands upon thousands of people together. They come into the Yankee Stadium and places across the world. And ministers like Billy and a lot of Pentecostal ministers as well, they teach that all you've got to do is believe. They say, if you believe, then God has brought you salvation, and that's all there is to it. But I want to tell you today that believing is not enough. Just because you believe, it doesn't mean that you are a Christian. I remind you again that the devil believes and trembles. The Bible said if you believe as one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. So then just believing is not enough. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God, which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, but I believe that I can get to heaven without the infilling of the Spirit, Brother Pye. But if that's true, then why does the Bible teach that these had no oil in their vessel? Now, somebody would say, but I believe, and I'm a part of the church. It doesn't deny the fact that they were virgins. It doesn't deny the fact that they were set apart. In the New Testament, Paul asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you become a believer? I don't deny that you are a believer, but I know when I'm preaching the gospel, and I know that when I'm up here and I feel the condition of your spirit, I know that you don't have the infilling of the Spirit, because your spirit doesn't register as the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You may be a virgin. You may be a believer. You may be set apart. But that's not good enough. The Bible said when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it wanders around. When it can't find a place to go, it comes back to the same man. A lot of you today, that's the problem. The spirit of Satan went out of you. God shook it off of you, took it out of you, and drove it away. But instead of getting filled with the Holy Ghost, you went on your way. You procrastinated on God. And then Satan returned. And he came back into you. And when he came back in, he brought seven other devils worse than him himself. And the eight spirits together has dominated your life and had you to where a preacher can't help you or nobody else can't help you. You're just warped up in your mind and your spirit and your desires, in your ways and your ambition, and nobody can help you. It's what you call being self-centered. But the Bible said that somebody came with a message. There was somebody that was given a message. It was over toward the end time. You say, why do you say it was toward the end time? Because the Bible said immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars of heaven shall fall. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, he said it would happen. Is that right? And then he immediately tells about the 10 virgins. Somebody would say, well, the 10 virgins, that was at the coming of the Lord, that they rose up. But it wasn't when the Lord come that they rose up. That's where you're mistaken. When the virgins arose, the Lord did not come. There was only a message that kept telling the people that he was coming. Read it. Read it. Said they went out and said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. In other words, there was a message that said, get ready, God's coming. Is that right? See? In other words, it wasn't the coming of the Lord. It was a message that said, make yourself ready. The Bible said that the virgins rose up and they trimmed their lamps. All of them believed the message. Even the ones that didn't have the Spirit. That means the church world's going to believe it. The Baptist is going to believe it. The Methodist is going to believe it. Everybody's going to believe it. That's among the virgins. They rose up and they trimmed their lamps. He hadn't come yet. They had time to rise up. They had time to trim the lamps. They had time to check to see if there was oil in the vessels. But he still hadn't come. So then the foolish said to the wise, said, give us some of your oil. Said, we don't have any. They said, no, we're afraid that if we share with you, well, the bridegroom will come and then we won't have enough. We're afraid that our oil won't last until the appearing of the bridegroom. We feel like it's going to take everything we've got just for us to hold out till he gets here. He said, but I'll tell you what you can do. He said, there's some folks that's selling this. That's where we got it. He said, why don't you go out and buy some? Show them they had a great revival. You follow me? I said they had a great revival, and sure enough, there were still some preachers in the land that were selling all. And sure enough, they made contact. But when they came back, it was too late. God had given a message. God had given a revelation. And God had closed the door. And God had took his own with him. It was too late. When they got back, it was too late. They went out. They found somebody selling. And they come back. But it was too late. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what's happening at this very hour. The full gospel businessmen have learned that speaking in tongues and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is right. It started a few years ago. That was the message started coming forth. Get ready, the bridegroom's coming. We've got some proof in the earth that something's happening. Everybody rise up, get ready. And they all begin to rise up. Rise up, and they've been rising up. Since this message has been going forth, they've been rising up. Look all around the country. Look at the Baptists, all of a sudden got real religious. Look at the Methodists, got real religious. Look at the Catholics, hadn't heard nothing about them in years. All of a sudden, the Pope, he's everywhere. Look at Jerusalem rising up. Everybody getting religious. What is it? Because of the cry in the land. Everything's at an end. They're going to blow us apart. Nobody can't do anything about it. The only thing we know to do is just get religious, turn to God. Everybody screaming from the radios, the televisions, newspapers, everybody rising up. Even the movie stars.
I'm beginning to get religious, begin to sing religious songs. Everybody's wanting to get in. Why? Because the Bible said that they all rose up at the midnight cry. And brother, whether you believe it or not, we are right down at the very midnight hour, and the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn, and we're right down at the very place where God is fixing to change the entire situation. You say, well, I don't believe it, but it's happening anyway. I believe that last year, when all of these tornadoes that was happening throughout the land, I believe that that was the changing over period where God was taking the old out, typifying the rapture of the church being caught up into the spiritual revelation, and that God was making the change and the new was getting ready to come in. I believe that. I believe that there has been a great change and something has taken place. I believe it. Something has happened. I believe this year that things will begin to rise and be on the incline, because there's going to be a change. Things will get systemized a little more. God will shift things around. Already the tornadoes is late a little bit compared to what happened this time last year. Things are shifting around. Why? Because it's the very midnight hour and the darkness is upon us. There is a change, which means, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the midnight hour? When God counts darkness, he's talking about the carnal mind and the carnal system and the government that you have out there that you trust in. To God, all of that's darkness. All of that is the regime of the beast. All of that out there is contrary to God and Antichrist. He called it darkness. But at the midnight hour, then the darkness begins to go out and the daylight begins to come in. It begins to come in. That means that that old beast mind, that old carnal way of life is beginning to move out. And the Spirit of God is beginning to bring the revelation in. Beginning to bring the mind of Christ in. Something's making a change. It's coming in. There's a change. The midnight is here. The darkness is moving behind us. The carnal mind is losing out. They don't know what to do anymore. They don't know how to solve their problems anymore. And because we are right at the change, the daylight's coming in. And the day star that the Bible speaks of that comes up between 12 o'clock and the morning is beginning to dawn in the church. That's the revelation. God said, if you overcome, I'll give you the bright morning star. That's Christ. That's the Spirit. That's the mind. Jesus within you, the hope of glory. The wise men saw his star, and they knew that that was it. The morning star. The day star. The Bible said that the sun would not give its light. The sun went out. There was no more light. And the moon wouldn't give his light. Everything went dark. What is it? How many of you know what the sun is? The sun is God's grace to the world. God has given forth a spiritual grace that has been rained upon the just and upon the unjust. And God is just literally poured out of his spirit. But the Bible said that the sun wouldn't give its light anymore. And when the sun wouldn't give its light, the Bible said the moon refused to give its light also. That means a church. If there's no sunlight, there's no moonlight, because the moon is a reflector. If there's no spirit that's coming from God, that's grace, then the church can't reflect nothing to the people. You can't say, let whosoever will come, if there's no grace by which they could come. I can't reflect the love of God to you unless there's love of God coming to me. The church can't preach an open door of grace unless the sunlight of grace is shining. And the Bible said the sun wouldn't give its light anymore. The days of grace would be over. It said the moon wouldn't give its light anymore. That is, it can't reflect the love of God to you anymore. Everything will be shut up. Then the Bible said the stars shall fall from heaven. Why? I preach to you that when the day of grace is over, all of a sudden the red dragon is cast out of heaven and he curls his tail around the stars and a third part of the stars is cast down. At the ending of the day of grace, all of those that have been reflectors, all of those that don't have the light, that's not filled with the Spirit, all of them that's just religious reflectors of other people's experiences, they will fall. Those people will fall from the Spirit and the presence of God. God will turn them loose and they'll fall. They'll fall. Fall from heaven. Stars will fall from heaven. Why? When Lucifer is cast out, he goes into a world of darkness. This world will be just one big place of darkness. And we who are spiritual people will be in the heavenlies with God, caught up out of this world, chosen out of this world, hid with Christ in God, and we will adore in the heavenlies because we are heavenly. Immediately after those days shall the sun be darkened. Immediately after those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars, the wandering stars, shall fall from heaven. Those people in the church that's been in hypocrisy, Brother Ed, those people in the church that's played around on God, and those people that's not fasted, those people that's not prayed, and those people that's not studied the Bible, those people that's not helped the needy, and those that have no experience with God shall fall from heaven. Those that are cold and indifferent and careless and hard, there won't be anything left for them except the bottomless pit. I've noticed in the last few years of preaching that people are cold. Nothing moves them anymore. The only response you get if you come up with something rich from the deep to bring over to the inheritance of the saints, and the saints begin to bubble over, then you feel a quickening, then you feel a connection. But whereas years ago, the Spirit of God could be literally poured out upon people, people would shout, dance, sing, and something would take place. It's not that way anymore. They're dead. Dead. The Spirit of God moves over them. There's no connection. The stars shall fall from heaven. The moon shall not give its light. I notice already those days are moving in on us. The beginning of sorrows, heartaches, woes, troubles, perplexities, bewilderment. Children turning into hippies, won't mind the parents. Wrecks on the highway, radioactive fallout, diseases, troubles. The beginning of sorrows. Things are constantly happening. What is it? It's the beginning of sorrow. The stars are falling from heaven. I see people every day that's getting farther away from God, that one time had a spiritual vision, had a spiritual desire to go on with God, had a burning influence upon the lives of others. But today they're cold, careless, undone. Can't touch them. Can't reach them with nothing. They're gone. As I saw the vision the other night going down the drain. I saw people washing down the drain. As the drain pulled them down, I saw them go down the drain. Going down the drain. Carnal-minded. Fed to the full. Lukewarm. Laodicean. Having a name that they live, but in God's sight they're dead. They have a name in this world that they live, a church name. But in God's world, they're dead. What is it? The stars falling from heaven. Every day I watch And I see people that a few days before was doing good. They get more careless, and I see them falling. I see them tumbling out of the heavens. I see them left behind. I see them go back into Egypt. I see them turn around and leave the vision of God. Every day I watch it. What is it? The stars are falling from heaven. The sun's refusing to give the light. The moon don't want to shine anymore. The shine is coming out of the church. People are getting cold. They're not reflecting anymore the things of God. To have a light, then you need heat. What is it? It's the stars falling from heaven. Because they've never had any experience with God. They've never been filled with the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Ghost, but they just sit in the church and reflect others. They don't do anything. They don't give to God. They don't uphold the kingdom. They don't share their talents. They don't share their prayers or anything else with God or God's people. It's just a ritualistic formality of a cold, indifferent get-together, of a protracted meeting, they used to call it. But I'm glad that God is in my heart. I'm glad this very night I felt Him surging through my being like a living dynamo, moving and stirring and awakening me on the inside. When I feel the deadness of the congregation and I feel the living Spirit on the inside of me moving, I know in my heart that You didn't make it. I know in my heart that You didn't get it. I know in my heart that You don't have the same thing that I have, or the infilling of the Spirit would quicken you. The Bible said if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He would quicken your mortal body by Spirit that dwelleth within you. You say, but Brother Pike, I still believe the quickening's here. But God's cutting off the water from heaven. He's cutting it off. You've been quickened by the waters from heaven, but God is cutting it off. And unless there's a fountain open in the house of David, you won't have any quickening. You won't have any quickening. The Spirit of life is withdrawing, but the Bible said when the message come that the sun would not give its light anymore. There wouldn't be any rain from heaven on your crops anymore. Because you didn't do opposites to the message. Because you didn't submit. Because you didn't love the truth. You didn't follow after. So then there's a coldness moving in over the church. Like Billy Paul said the other day, never before has there been a coldness over Brother Branham's followers. He said, but there's a coldness come over them. Why? Because you can't keep people alive when the sun, scientists say that if the sun goes out, everything on the earth would freeze over. When the grace of God goes out, my brother, you become hard. You become callous. You become indifferent. You become worldly minded. You become contrary to your husband, contrary to your wife, contrary to your friends, your neighbors. Everything gets crossed up. It's like a mad race. Look at the businessmen. No mercy. Look at the people that's your neighbor. No interest. No mercy. Look at men and wives. No connection between them. No love. What is it? The sun's going out. The moon's going out. Everything is going out. The stars are falling from heaven. All of those that's been in the presence of grace has begun to topple out. Fall out. Preachers. Hundreds of preachers across America and across the world are toppling out. What are they doing? They're being exposed that it's a money gimmick, that they've never been after anything but money and fame and popularity. They never have preached the word, only to the extent to be able to get something out of the congregation, that's all. Cold, dead, indifferent, careless. Tonight, preaching to you, you're froze up, can't thaw you out. Froze up, I can feel it up here. But it don't bother me a bit. I'd rather preach to you when you can take a little bit of something from God, but it don't bother me. I preached to cold congregation before. I can still preach to you. I got the preacher on the inside of me so I can preach if you don't do nothing. If you sat there and freeze over like an ice ball, I can still preach to you. What is it? It's the stars that's falling from heaven. God's looking down on a cold, careless, indifferent bunch of people that have no vision, no prayer life, that don't seek God. And he's looking down on you, and he's marking you off his list. You're getting out of the spirit. You're becoming cold. He's cutting you off. He's cutting you off. Because at the midnight cry, you didn't have the oil. You didn't have the oil. Matthew 24, and when shall these things be? Jesus said, take heed to yourself. No man will know this hour but the Spirit. Nobody but the Spirit. But he said this, I say to you, if you'd have been watching, the thief wouldn't have broke up the housekeeping. If you'd been on your toes, if you'd have been watching, you'd have known what hour was coming, and he wouldn't have done you this way. But Jesus said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. For two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Take heed to yourself, he said, lest this day come upon you unaware. For as a snare, it's going to take even the church world. But the wise virgins that was filled with the Holy Ghost, that had the infilling of the Spirit, those virgins rose up, trimmed the lamps, got ready to meet God. Hallelujah! They had something on the inside. Something that could stir them. Something that could awaken them. Something that made them relative to that Spirit of heaven, that thing up yonder. Not cold like you are. Not indifferent like you are. Not undone like you are. But they were wise virgins. They were somebody that had a connection with God. Something that had a jubilance on the inside. They'd made contact with heaven. Hallelujah. They felt what I felt. They'd met the same fellow that I met. They got acquainted with the same Jesus that I know. The Spirit of God came into their eyes, uprooted evil, took it out, cleaned them up, and poured them full of the oil of heaven. They have the oil in their vessels. There's a number of you that's in this church, a number of you, that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't know what the infilling of the Holy Ghost is. Some of you that come and hear me preach, you are fully persuaded that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and you don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I watch your lives to see if there's any kind of spiritual reaction that proves that you got the Holy Ghost, and you don't have it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I'm a Christian. I've heard him say this. They'd say, I know that I'm a Christian, but I don't have the Holy Ghost. I've never met a Christian that didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I know that I'm a Christian. I've never met a Christian that didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I know one. Well, I wish you'd bring him over. I'd like to meet him. What is a Christian? A Christian is somebody that's Christ-like. How can you be Christ-like? By having the nature of Christ. What is the nature of Christ? The Holy Ghost. And the Bible said that there is but one Spirit. What is that Spirit? The Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, if you have not that Spirit, you're none of His. That's pretty plain. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're not a Christian. That's settled. Lock, stock, and barrel. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not a Christian. Somebody said, but I'll have you to know I am a believer. I didn't say you wasn't a believer. I said, if you're a believer, you're in the same class with the devil. He believes too. It's not good enough. Now, if you're an elect believer, that's a different situation. Somebody said, well, there you are right there. You can be an elect believer and not have the Holy Ghost. No. The Bible teaches that God sealed you with the Holy Ghost as a proof that you are an elect believer. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. The Bible said God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. Is that right? The sign of circumcision, the Bible said, was a seal of his faith in God. Is that right? It was a type of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said, grieve not the Spirit whereby thou art sealed. The old kings in the Old Testament had the ring that had the seal on it. If that epistle that was written didn't have the seal, it was not official. And the Bible said you're an epistle, it's known and read of all men. But if you don't have the seal of the great king, which is the Holy Ghost, you're not official. You're phony. That's why the preachers have the problems they have. They come to church and people sit in the audience and they feel evil spirits and they feel resentment and they feel contrariness and they feel lewdness and lust, all kind of concupiscence. Why do they feel that? Because people don't have the Holy Ghost. People don't have the Holy Ghost. Brother, you can't feel the devil in nobody that's got the Holy Ghost. I said, you've never felt the devil in nobody that ever had the Holy Ghost. God has never let the devil come into anybody that had the Holy Ghost. If the devil gets in a person, they are not filled with the Spirit. Darkness and light don't dwell together. Good water and bitter water can't come forth from the same fountain. You can't serve two masters. Darkness will not fellowship light, nor light darkness. If you see a man that's always wanting to be around the world, around some kind of lust, some kind of thing out yonder in the natural, you know that that person is not in the spirit of light. Take a person that just loves natural prestige, natural things of life. What's wrong with that person? They don't have the Holy Ghost. I believe that you're going to have the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that there'll be one person that'll walk through the gates of pearls that don't have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I don't believe you'll ever get in. And some of you don't have the Holy Ghost. I know that you don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, but Brother Pike, I speak in tongues. That don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I felt the Spirit. That don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I prophesied. I know not too long ago, we had one that prophesied here and planned a robbery on the side. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Saul prophesied too. That didn't mean he had the Holy Ghost. Balaam, somebody said, but I see visions. I've got a gift in my life. I can tell people things. Balaam could too. But that didn't mean he had the Holy Ghost. He could see the Lord right there and fall into a trance and see him with his eyes open, but that didn't mean he had the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I'm a preacher, Brother Pike. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the ministers of Satan transformed themselves into ministers of the Word, which is light. Now you say, well, what does prove that I've got the Holy Ghost? There's only one proof of the Holy Ghost. And to have that proof, you've got to know what the Holy Ghost is. If you don't know what the Holy Ghost is, you'd never know the proof of it. Jesus was the Word made flesh. And the Spirit of that Word, for he said, my word's a spirit. The Spirit of that Word is called the Spirit of Truth. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are truth. Then he said, my word is the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my word is the Holy Ghost, the only God that you'll ever know. In the beginning was the Holy Ghost. Is that right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I believe in the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. I do too. And I believe all three of them are one. In heaven, there's a record. Somebody said there's a record in heaven that says the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You never read that in the Bible. That ain't wrote in the Bible. There's no such thing written in the Bible that says in heaven there's a record of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not in there. Whoever taught you that taught you wrong. It said there is a record that God has got in heaven of the Word. of the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Is that right? So you say, what is that? In the beginning was God the Father, the Word, the Spirit. It was everything. In the beginning was God the Spirit, the Father of all mankind, that spoke everything as a word into an existence and gave it the spirit of life. Is that right? There is but one God, but one Spirit. Any sonship is a flesh. Jesus was a fleshly being. God is a spirit. Jesus said, my bones and my flesh. When my Father is a spirit, the Word was made flesh. Today, God's still trying to make the Word flesh. Why? Not a printed page, but a spiritual Word. Your spirit, your life, becoming one with the Spirit. What is the Holy Ghost? He's the spiritual Word of truth. That's what He is. How do I know that I got the Holy Ghost? To be born of the spiritual Word of truth. When you're born of God, you're born of the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And you're born of the Word. And the Word is Spirit. Now, what will happen to you if you got the Spirit of God? You'll be the Word made flesh. What will happen? If you're the Word made flesh, you'll meditate in the laws day and night in the Word. You'll walk like the Word. You'll talk like the Word. You'll think like the Word. You'll act like the Word. You'll believe like the Word. And you'll be one with the Word. That is the Holy Ghost. You won't resent. You won't frown up. You won't puff up. Because charity doesn't behave itself unseemingly. Somebody say, but now charity is a different thing from the Holy Ghost. Charity is the Holy Ghost. God is the sacrificial spirit of giving. Paul said you can have all the gifts, have everything you want, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of charity. That's what it is. For God is love. And God is the Spirit. And His Spirit is charity. Is that right? The only spirit of self-denial and sacrifice that's ever been given for mankind. God is the spirit of charity. If you can't swear to your own hurt, then you haven't got God. If you can't look on the things of another and esteem others better than yourself, you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you can't walk every day of your life holy, clean, and upright, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, anybody bound not to walk right sometimes, the Bible said, I'll write my laws upon the table of their heart and cause them to walk in my word. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. I could never do anything but what the word said because I got the nature of the word. Somebody said, but look at David. David didn't have the Holy Ghost. Look at Judas. Judas didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but look the way that Peter cursed. Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Peter walked on the water and didn't have the Holy Ghost? I mean to tell you that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom and he still didn't have the Holy Ghost. And turned around and started his cursing. After he got the keys of the kingdom. The Lord said, get converted, Peter. He needed to get converted. Somebody say, you mean you can do all these things? Yeah, you can be a big ten evangelist. You can do all these things and not have the Holy Ghost. Preach to others and become a castaway. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you what. When the Lord gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, he knew that he was a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Because he said, Peter, I've already prayed for you. Said, I done seen the devil. Said, he's going to try to sift you like wheat or sand. But he said, Peter, I prayed for you. And your strength's not going to fail, Peter. And he said, when thou art converted.
Yeah, I want you to strengthen the brethren, he said.
Peter, just as quick as you get the Holy Ghost, I want you to go start a revival. And get the brethren straightened out.
Somebody said he had a lot of confidence in Peter. He had a lot of confidence in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You say, what do you mean? I mean, Jesus knew by the Holy Ghost that Peter was in line for the Holy Ghost. He knew he could trust Peter in the sense that he received the Holy Ghost.
Somebody said, well, what do you mean?
I mean that I commit a lot of things to your trust. You don't have the Holy Ghost. But I know that some of you is a candidate for the Holy Ghost. I know God's got you lined up for the Holy Ghost, and I know that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you something. There's a number of you here that unless you really get stirred up in God, you're never going to receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking to some of you that speak in tongues. I'm talking to some of you that feel the Spirit sometimes coming down on your body. I'm talking to some of you that know how to shout, how to dance, and do all of these things. Prophesy, see visions. But you need the Holy Ghost. You need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't live right, you don't think right, you don't talk right, you don't produce the nature of Jesus. Some of you women, if you had the Holy Ghost, you know what you'd do? You'd perform the word and obeying your husband in all things. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is the word. Some of you men, if you had the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you'd rule your house instead of the woman ruling you. You had the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let you do anything else. Some of you ladies, if you had the Holy Ghost, you'd watch after your children. You wouldn't let them roam all over the place. Because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let you sit idly by and let children wreck the house, wreck the yards, and just wander around everywhere. Some of you, if you had the Holy Ghost, you'd spend more time in prayer, more time in fasting, more time seeking God, more concern about God and your husband and your family instead of somebody else's husband. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Some of you tonight are sitting there, you feel as empty as an old wooden bucket with all the water poured out. You say, how do you know? Because I don't feel nothing coming from you. But if you had the Holy Ghost, I would. You know why? That's how that I know a lot of you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can't preach the word without getting a response from the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. Because the Bible said when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll testify of me. Me, who is me? The Word. When you get the Spirit of the Word, it'll always testify of the Word. Whether it's in its thoughts, whether it's in its deeds, whatever you do, it'll be a testimony of the Word. If you have the Holy Ghost, you'd submit yourself one to another. But I'm going to say this again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall not give its light. The moon shall not give its light. The stars shall fall from heaven. Because you that don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not a living organism of godly light. You are not the light of the world. You are a reflector. You are a religious hypocrite of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Wandering stars that wander in your mind, that wander from place to place, that wander about God's word, never doing what God tells you to do. Wondering if Brother Pike's called to preach. Wondering if he told you the truth. Wondering if this is right. Wondering if you ought to do that. Wondering if you ought to do something else. Wandering stars. But those that know God, they know who they are. They know what they are. They know where they've been, and they know where they're going. They're not wandering at all. Not at all. Somebody said, but everybody has to figure out what to pray for. The Bible said them that are true stars, they don't know what to pray for. The Holy Ghost maketh intercession by his knowledge. They don't lean to their own understanding. But with groans and moans that can't be uttered, the Holy Ghost makes intercession. Searching the mind of the heart, knowing what God's will is. He's the one that looks after them.
Others that are wandering stars, they're always wandering up here in the wilderness trying to figure out what God's will is or whether that's right or what the preacher said. Is that right? Some of them say, I don't know. I've been trying to figure this thing out for the last 6 months. Me and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, why we've just hashed it over and over and over. But not somebody with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks something up here out of the preacher. The Holy Ghost in you just gets a holy chuckle and says, amen. I don't know how I know it, but I know it's right. It just makes me feel good. It just tells me it's right. I don't have to wonder about nothing. There's something that bears witness with my spirit that that's right. But the others are wandering stars. Always wandering. You need the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, you can't turn me on. That's because you burn out. You don't have to turn nobody on that's got the Holy Ghost. They ain't never been turned off. Jesus turned them on at Calvary. They ain't never been turned off since. They're the light of the world. They burn day and night. They don't give out of oil either. They burn day and night. The world has to have somebody to turn them on. That's why they say, he turns me on. But one day God's going to turn them off, and that's going to be the last time they ever get turned on. The sun refused to give its light. The moon refused to give its light. The stars fell down from heaven. Why? Because the red dragon was cast out. And when he was cast out, there was nothing to hold him up there. If you was a living organism of light, you couldn't fall out of the orbit of God. You're in God's spiritual orbit. There ain't no way you can fall out because you're relative to the sun. And you've got an inner flame here that's relative to that heavenly flame, and it holds you together. Just like brotherly love, you can't make yourself have brotherly love. There's got to be something relative in here that cries for the relativity of something in another brother that makes you love one another. You can't put on a show and make that thing work. If it ain't in there, it just ain't in there. Those wandering stars, the very minute that God stops the light of heaven, all of them that's not living organism of light goes shoo. That means that when the days of grace is over, that you'll no longer look like a Christian. You'll no longer act like a Christian. But the devil and the worldly lust and this worldly environment will move in on you so fast that you'll be swallowed up. Just completely swallowed up, and nothing won't make you religious anymore. The stars will fall from heaven. I already see some of them falling. I already see some of them falling. If you notice Jack Benny, some of the great comics, some of the great people of the spotlight, some of them that's been up in the world of stardom, have you noticed? The lights is going out. They're dropping out of heaven. Where are they going? The mist of darkness. Going down. It's typical. God's showing you something in the sage. That's why he had to start them out there for the sage. He's showing you something. The stars will fall from heaven. What? In corruption. In evil. In debauchery. In conniving. Different things of the flesh.